morning. It's Sunday, September 14th.
Yes, Lord, by your Spirit.
Yes.
We ask, O Lord, that your blessings would be on our time together, O Lord, that we would be able to enter into a place of your truth, that we would be in that place, your truth, O Lord. Not our own good ideas, but your truth, Lord. You would provide a door for us to enter into that place of your truth, Lord, by your Spirit. Do that good work. And that your Spirit would flow, your truth would flow, that we would be able to speak your truth and receive your truth, know your truth as being true. Oh, by your Spirit. Do that good work today, by your Spirit. Amen.
Amen. In Hebrews 9:22, it says, "And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood, it is no remission." Okay.
What was that? Hebrews what?
9:22. Hebrews 9:22. "And without the shedding of blood, it is no remission." Okay. Who determines that?
The other way to ask questions, so who gives remission?
God.
So way back when, God had the shedding of the blood of animals as a type of when Jesus Christ would die on the cross and shed his blood. And John the Baptist, when he saw Jesus, he said, "The Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." And anyway, it says almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. Well, I don't know, but a whole revelation based on this verse hit me the other day. And we have wondered, you know, it says in Acts 2:38, Peter is standing there and he says, well, they said, you know, "Men and brethren, what are we going to do after the day of Pentecost and the things that had happened?" And so Peter and the 11, the rest of the apostles, stood up together. And Peter, as is the case, of course, he was given the keys to the kingdom, so I think that's why he spoke both here and later on to the house of Cornelius, because he was given the keys to the kingdom, and I think he opened the door to the Jews, and later on he opened the door to the Gentiles. But here he says, in verse 37, "And when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do?" What are we going to do? Because they realized that God had poured out his Spirit, just like Joel had prophesied. "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins." And this is what has bothered me. "And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit," or the Holy Ghost. Because by being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, how does that cover the remission of sins? And then I I put that together with Hebrews 9:22. And I realized the only possible one that we could be baptized into was Jesus Christ, because it was His blood that saved all men from their sins. Mm-hmm. So His name is associated with His blood. Then did you follow me?
Mm-hmm.
So when it says, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, we could include, because His blood is what frees you from your sins.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So,
you know a word stuck out to me in that verse?
Huh?
You know a word sticks out to me in that verse?
What's that?
Almost.
Oh.
Almost all sin.
All things, it says.
Almost all things are by the law purged with
oh,
life.
Yeah.
But there are some things that are not.
But without the... But
right. I need a list.
But without the...
Is there a big whiteboard in here?
But without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And to make it clear, without the shedding of Jesus' blood.
Well, in 10:12, Hebrews, it says, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God.
Yeah.
So that just ties it in even more.
So does that make it, does that kind of explain why you get baptized in Jesus' name? Mm-hmm. You know,
Sure.
Yeah, you want to be tied to Jesus Christ as much as you can.
Well, to the blood. It says be washed with the blood. He made that sacrifice. And I don't remember where it says in the Bible, but He made that sacrifice so we didn't have to sacrifice any of His creations or anything else.
And if you read Hebrews 10:14, one of your favorite words there, Keith, is used, for by one offering He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I just found another thing too. And this, if you don't believe that, in 10:29, how much worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace? So you better not make light of the blood.
Amen.
It's interesting because it's saying even Jesus was sanctified by His blood. Because
mm-hmm.
It was the blood of the covenant, the new covenant.
Mm-hmm. And then, did you read verse 14? Was that the one you read?
Yes. I believe I did. Yes.
It says, and I just noticed a word in there, it says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Remember what it says in Peter? Baptism does not save you.
Where are you reading from, Keith?
Well, this is in Acts 10:15, but in Peter.
Well, you just read 9:12.
I don't know what I read.
9:15 in Hebrews, 14 in Hebrews.
Mm-hmm. You're in Hebrews right now.
Okay.
Which 14 did you read?
I read
Hebrews
10:14. For by one For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. So that was following along Keith's thread.
Are you sure that's in
Hebrews 10:14?
Right, there.
Okay. Because he started on 9, and you went to 10, yeah. And all farther.
And I went to 10, 12.
Yeah, and I went farther down, and saw that was impacted by that. So we jumped a little bit.
You know what? Whether or not the blood covers or all things, it says in 16 and 17 that the covenant I will make to them after those days, says the Lord, I'll put my laws into their hearts and their minds. I will write them. Then he adds, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more.
Now where there is remission of these, there is no longer an offering for sin.
Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiness by the blood of Jesus. That's the verse right after that. Curtis told his mom yesterday that he was going to be baptized, and her response was, you have to be part of a church to be baptized. Huh. Or go to church to be baptized. That's always her rebuttal.
She's been pretty negative towards me finding God in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah. Does she belong to a church?
No.
Her husband is very Pentecostal,
I
guess.
His family.
His family, not her.
Well, he doesn't practice it, but he definitely still is a believer and does not agree with what she says. But Les is the type of guy that he's a man of few words, you know. He just nods and lets my mom say the crazy stuff. And once in a while, he'll chime in with that's enough.
That's not a terribly uncommon position, though, that
right?
If you're going to receive communion or baptized, no, you got to belong to that, you know.
Yeah.
We wouldn't hold with that around here, but.
Most reactions that you get from people saying anything positive about any sort of, you know, coming onto the Lord is met with negativity and resistance. And I think there's a clear reason why that is.
Right.
You know,
the devil tells everyone you have to be perfect to be baptized or find God.
Well, I think that any sort of demonic plague that people go through or have attached to them tries to attach any sort of negativity towards finding the Lord. I don't think it discriminates with just being a part of the church. What you hear come out of people's mouth is absolutely any reason, you know, to be against it. And I think it's definitely very subconscious and just not the people, but the things that are bringing them down.
You got to be accountable. They don't want to be accountable.
Nobody wants to be accountable like that. People would rather just be not accountable and ignorant.
And miserable.
Curtis had a powerful deliverance experience yesterday.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. Probably the craziest thing I ever experienced.
It was crazy for me, and you guys have seen me screaming on the floor, all of you. So it was definitely an intense thing. Amazing, God-centered, perfect moment thing. But, yeah.
Yeah, it was painful. It hurt. Yesterday we were at the baseball games for the kids, and from the time that I woke up, I was very distraught, and I was not feeling good. I was feeling very negative right from the start. You know, I was upset when I was awake. Like the second I woke up, I was mad that I was awake, and. We went to the baseball game, and I felt off the whole day, and then progressed to just being worse and worse, and I felt really very bad, and then I got to the end of Jasper's game.
Well, we went home in between first, and there was a point that it was kind of weird, and I can see and have for a long time things that can attack Curtis and have his whole life, When Curtis was a kid, he made an agreement with a spirit that was attack him pretty hardcore and within his whole family to just coexist within his body because he couldn't handle it anymore as a child, and that's pretty terrifying if you can imagine how his life has gone. And so we went, had stopped at home, and he was off, and I was in the other room, and I came out, and I was like, what are you doing? He was praying. And he said, I'm really sorry, like, my attitude today hasn't been okay, and whatever, like, I don't know what was going on, but whatever. So we went back to the game, and he was sitting there, and I was down by Justin and the kids and whatever, and I came back down, and he looked green. And he's like, I think I need to go home. But he, from the moment we left the house after he prayed till we got there, it was like there was war going on within him thing. Because for once, and it's the first time that he has stopped and called out what's going on within him. And that was a big deal to whatever was going on within him. So then he started to look green, literally green, and he's like, I need to go home. I need to go home. And we had 15 minutes before the game was going to start.
That I forgot about myself going home. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's a key element.
It is. You called war.
Because, you know, we went home. And, like, there was no reason why I was feeling this way. And I snapped at her kind of when we went home at one point. She's like, what are you saying? I'm like, just a bunch of pointless stuff. I'm like, I'm just telling you a bunch of pointless stuff, like how you say to me every day. And I, like, stormed away. And, then, like, when she, like, went into the bedroom, and, like, I was pretty sure she was pretty upset with my aggressive comment. I'm just like, I don't even know. Nothing is triggering me to feel like this. I'm just feeling like this anyway, and nothing's even wrong. So I prayed while she was in the bedroom. And when she came out, I felt a little better. And, like, because I knew I needed to do that. And I apologized to her for my attitude and what I said. And, like, on the way to the game, I started feeling, like, progressively worse. And then through the I kept feeling worse to the point to where Jasper's next game was starting. And I just started feeling ill. So I started my day being angry and feeling off for absolutely no reason to literally feeling like that. And also just, like, unbelievably ill. Like, I was ready to die. My skin was green. We had to go to the car. I was sitting there. I was feeling like I was going to puke. I was shaking and felt like everything was spinning. And then
he said he felt like his chest was ripping open. And I just turned the Bible on John for some reason. Super loud in the car.
We're not that far.
Okay, well, that's when. Okay.
So we were leaving. And she's like, what do you think it is? And I'm like, I think it has to do with me getting baptized. And I definitely think this is demonic. Something inside of me was just screaming that. Like, the more sick I started getting, something was just yelling in my head, like this is what it is, like, and I just kept thinking about praying, and, like, we left, and we're driving down the road, and she put the Bible on the car, and we pulled over so we could pray, and we started praying, and I rapidly started feeling worse, like, I was calling out to God, and I was telling whatever was in me that's not welcome anymore, and I was so exhausted that I was, like, almost folded in half, like,
I almost drove to the emergency room.
Like, I couldn't even lift my head up, and my eyes were closed, and my head was pointing down, and it was, like, it was gloomy out, it was raining that day, so the sun was not shining in my face, keep in mind, and my head was down. And my eyes were closed, and we were praying, and the Bible was on, and all the gauges in the car were just going.
We were parked on the side of the road, and even the gas gauge, the mile per hour, or everything, the seatbelt lights were coming on and off, the airbag light was going on, the car, I thought the car was going to explode. So finally I was like, okay, Curtis is dying. I've been praying for a while now. And now the car is going to break down on the side of the road, and my phone is dying. So I probably should start driving home at this point. So I'm like, I think we've done, and he's just hunched over, like, I don't know. He seemed like he had gone through something and defeated something, or he was about to die. So we were driving, and he was literally like this, and not so green anymore. And the Bible was playing, and it came up the part where Jesus says, what does he say? Take up your whatever and walk.
Cross.
Like, you take up, yeah. So I'm like, okay. And I'm driving and thinking. And in this moment, I want to say to him, like, okay, like, now, Curtis, pray. Like, thank Jesus. Do something. Get up. Like, get up. You're okay now. But something inside of me kept saying, he's going to get angry. He's crabby. He's going to yell at you. And finally, I just said, Curtis, I don't know why, but I want to tell you to sit up right now. And he literally, like, you know, he can go. So he did.
Well, he skipped the entire dilemma.
No, well, yeah, but that was your screaming and when you were seeing the light part.
Yeah, go. I feel like that's kind of important to share. That's a story. Like, I would feel like my heart would begin to race, and it definitely was multiple times. It wasn't just like one time. I felt exhausted, and my heart would start to race and hurt really bad, and my whole chest felt like it was ripping off. And I felt like I had a softball or like something hard. Like, I would pray, and then, like, I would start to, like, feel like I was going to have a heart attack. My chest was ripped off, and I was choking, and I would feel, like, something hard start in my stomach and work its way up through my chest and, like, out my throat, and then it would, like, come out. And when that would happen, keep in mind, my eyes are closed the entire time because I don't even have enough strength to open my eyes or lift my head. So my eyes are closed, and I'm looking down, and everything is black. And I would just, like, see something that looked like the sun just burning bright with, like, a white ring around it. And the white would keep growing and eat out all the black that I was seeing. My head is down on the floor. It's not like that's the sun that was, like, going through my eyelids that was making me see that. I was looking down at the floor the entire time. Nothing changed. And that would happen multiple times where I would see the light again and it would eat away the black that I was seeing with my eyes closed, and that would correspond with the feeling of regurgitating something and having my chest ripped off. And after that happened probably 8 to 12 times, I felt better each time, and then, like, my mouth was just forced open, and it felt like my cheeks were widening, and I felt like a tunnel of, like, warm air just to literally shoot down my throat, and it was just like total, like, the brightest white just shining my eyeballs. And then that's when we started driving home, and she told me to sit up, and I sat up and we continued to pray. Like, during that whole time, I was just praying the best I could with my mouth being terribly dry and feeling like I was choking. And my face wasn't green anymore. I didn't feel sick anymore. We were both crying. It was crazy. The car wasn't doing anything. I felt something slamming in the car, too, when we were parked there, when the gauges were going all nuts. That was a crazy experience.
And then he just sat up at the hospital with Grandpa's. So I dropped him off there.
Does that sound like deliberate?
But even last night, we were talking, and he looked at me and he goes, "Watch your mouth." And I was like, sometimes I swear like a sailor. He swears significantly worse. I don't think I've heard a swear word come out of his mouth since yesterday. And he even mentioned it last night. He's like, "I feel overly compelled not to swear." Like, not even that it's a natural part of your language. You know what I mean?
And it's typically definitely a natural part of my language. And I'm just like, I feel an overwhelming urge to not use profanity. Like,
And he was happy.
I felt happy. And I felt loved. I felt like, I feel like I've gone through a lot of things. Like, since I began this journey of meeting Brittany and finding the Lord and all that. But nothing close to like this. I feel like I definitely have progressed towards the Lord and away from a life of sin. But I don't know, I've never felt like that. And then I felt so overwhelmingly loved, I cried when I got home. And I was like, you know how I feel right now? Like, when the kids, like, fall down and they get hurt, and you go and pick them up and you hold them and tell them that they're going to be okay and stuff. I feel like God did that to me.
Lord.
Mm-hmm. If you don't know, Curtis has lived a pretty hard life. He has felonies. He's been a drug dealer. He's done a lot of things. This is this is a huge thing, and he's changed a lot as a person in his life, and especially in the last year. But this, and to see him, yeah, it was amazing for me. It was an amazing experience for me.
Pretty wild. Yeah.
He's very ready to be baptized too, and it's been something that since the beginning of our relationship, and since this came about, and we've talked about the couple of times we've gone through issues, and I've told my grandpa several times, I don't think the devil wants Curtis to be baptized. Like the real hardcore wants to fight for him.
Yeah, that's been at the beginning. Just every like positive step in our relationship to go on to the next level, like something terrible would happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or like when we would say we're going to come to church or come to grandpa's and pray, I would just feel, out of nowhere, I would just hit with, like, feeling super sick, like I'm just going to puke and, like, need to stay home because I couldn't even walk because I was so dizzy, you know? Like, it's weird how those would always happen any sort of time. That
mm-hmm. You know, you're describing feeling bad. I know just before deliverance, I have felt just mean and ugly and just a terrible feeling. What's happened is the demon gets brought up to the surface and ready to be cast out.
There was a week ago. We didn't have kids, and there was one day, I don't know why, it was out of nowhere. Curtis came in the kitchen, and he looked really happy, and he's like, I want to get margaritas and get really feisty and do some high kicks and get angry. Like, he just was happy, and for no reason, that was like the, we don't have kids tonight, let's just do that. And then we were like, maybe we shouldn't do that. Like, but that just sounded like a really good idea in the moment. There was so much going on that just having a couple margaritas and being feisty seemed like fun for some reason. And I remember thinking, like, why would you literally say, like, I'm feeling like I should drink margaritas and get angry right now? And that is just one of those things that I've done that before where all of a sudden I'm thinking, like, I'm going to do this to solve this issue. And all of a sudden, like, that's the dumbest thought pattern I've ever had in my life. Like, I don't like my car, I'll crash it, or something, you know what I mean? Like, stupid thought patterns that are so demonic, and it's really cool to see him, like, come against it, and for him to acknowledge that, and the fact that he was being upset. It was really cool. Yeah, God's time, not my time.
It's time for God.
Mm-hmm.
It's always time for God.
Well, I was telling Curtis that there's a sequence in the book of James and where it says, submit to God, and it says, resist the devil and he'll flee. And then it says, draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you. A sequence. And I don't know that we have to be super high in the spirit to do it. We just need to do it, you know. We submit to God. Well, one of the ways that we submit is in his word.
Mm-hmm.
Just take his word in. And then, so then you start resisting the devil. And the promise is you resist him and he'll get away.
Mm-hmm.
He'll leave.
On that, what reminded me of something that I think is extremely important. Yesterday, for no reason, and my mom and I don't talk often, not in just a how are you doing context, it's usually a hey, I need something. Out of nowhere, yesterday at 12:30, my mom sent me a message and said, hey, my beautiful girl. And so I just said, what's up, Mama? She said, how are you? And I said, I'm amazing. I feel like a weight's been lifted off me. Justin's acting civil. She sent, like, a smiley thing. And I said, okay, like, my heart's doing okay. The anxiety's gone, but it hurts. Like, I can feel it and whatever. I said, when my heart beats, it feels like, or because it's leaking so bad, I feel like I'm getting electrocuted in every beat. She said, pray. Don't stop. Resist what the devil can do. Don't do anything that the devil can attack. And just pray. That was not long. That was at 12:40. A few minutes later, Curtis told me he needed to go home. And I was like, why is your response to me telling you I feel like my heart's being, like, in that moment, I was like, why is she saying that? Like, why is that her response? Like, okay, Mom, moment. But it was a cool thing, and she was having a moment of feeling like she needed to intervene for me for something and was praying for me, and that's why she messaged me. So God is good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Roger Carl.
topic.
Yeah, let me kick it over.
Hmm.
But something we need to continue to pray about. I think we went through a thing with Curtis a few months ago, and he went through a little bit of a deliverance, nothing like this. But it's really easy to slide back into normal life things or not be filling those voids. And it says to when a spirit gets cast out, like,
yeah, fill. But then he comes back.
Right, well, and fill it because seven more will try and return where that one was.
I feel like when I heard that before, to me that meant like, you know, you cast out the spirit and you need to, like, you need to go through and do stuff. And, like, read the Bible and do all this stuff, which I don't disagree with by any means. I'm just telling my interpretation to, like, stay close to the Lord to resist those mm-hmm. spirits coming back and then some. And when I had this deliverance, or whatever you want to call it, you know, that's not my place to put a name on anything. You know, I literally felt, like, I felt literally like I was filled with the Lord. Like through my chest and my throat, and this beam, just if you were standing 2 feet away from the sun and looking directly in it, and instead of it being orange and red and yellow, it was just pure white, you know, bleeding in my eyes, bleeding is the word. But, you know, I felt like a void was created, and at the end, too, before that happened, I felt numerous, like, I kept feeling these things come up through me, like, with the pain and being expelled, and I felt, like, right at the end, I felt, like, six come through, like, all at once, just boom, 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 and then, like, the...
Huh.
I definitely feel like the Lord just went ahead and, like, got that out and filled me up with some good, like, right off the jump.
That is what happens.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I get a kick out of what Jesus said. You know, you cast out a demon and then it comes back and finds the house all clean and garnished. Well, what we want is a house that is really messy with things of the Lord. You know, not a clean house, one that's just got a whole bunch of God in it. That's, you know.
Filled up.
Mm-hmm. I like what we were watching a video. Brian Welch from Korn. He was saved and went through a lot of things with drugs for years and battled drug issues and just being famous because he was in Korn, which is a famous rock and roll band if any of you guys have heard of them. But he was saved. And, like, there's just tons, go on YouTube, there's tons of videos of his testimonies, and he talks, and he was given, he was at some sort of men's group, like, giving a speech and testimony, and he talked about drugs, and he brought up meth, which is definitely, like, something that plagued me and my drug of choice, and he talked about how that was his drug of choice, and he's like, man, that thing would make you a demon, you know. It's just terrible what it does to you spiritually. Makes you cold and not feel anything. And he said, to me, drugs are just counterfeits of the spiritual high that you get from the Lord. And that's like, I said something close to that.
He said that last night.
I said, like, this feeling is the best high that I've ever felt in my life, you know. And when he said that, and I, like, talked about how drugs are just a counterfeit, you know, it's just like a counterfeit high to for 1 second to make you feel kind of like what a spiritual high would be. And this, there's definitely a clear, that resonated with me because I've had a lot of the same issues that he had. And when you think something but you can't quite put words to it, and when someone says exactly what you feel and think, that's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
And like that hit home with me.
I have thought that a lot of people who have substance abuse issues are really hungry for the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And they found the wrong thing to satisfy that appetite for the Lord. But those are folks that want the Lord. They find this other thing that's not, you know.
Curtis has gone through, he read the whole Bible, I think, when he was in jail. He knows Cliff from his time.
I met Cliff before coming. Yeah, I'm pretty sure he's, because I haven't signed up for the church stuff. I've always been the seeker of the truth. And even in jail, I've always been to go to churches, and I've gone to churches all over, you know, from knowing various people and just being open-minded to anything. I think that's kind of a double-edged sword that's plagued me my entire life. It's been, like, overly open-minded. I'm not someone to, you know,
shut down anything
that I don't know about. And that's what left me open to good experiences and bad experiences. But I've always wanted the truth. And you can only find the truth by leaving yourself open. So you know what? In a lot of ways, I don't regret any of the negativity or terrible things that I've had to go through or that's been stuck to me, because it's just been a voyage to find the truth and the Lord. So.
Yeah. It'd be cool to continue to pray for that in us and his family. Curtis's entire family on both sides, every one of his cousins is a drug addict, felon, something. All of them. It's generational, for sure.
Well, my dad's side of family, every single, like, my grandpa was very violent, you know, and would do terrible things. He was in World War II when he was 17, I think. Both of my grandpas were in World War II and stormed the beaches of Normandy and lived. And my grandpa, on my dad's side, when he came back, he was violent. He would beat all the kids. There was a lot of physical abuse, you know. Like, one of the dogs would have puppies, and he wouldn't want them. So he'd take the puppies and put them in a sack and just keep slamming them in front of all the children. And he had, like, 8 kids, I think, or 9. Just slam the sack on the ground until all the puppies were dead in front of all the children. If they weren't in the barn working from the time that they could walk, they got whipped with milk hoses until they were in the barn working. And then on my mom's side of the family, through how many generations, every single person in that family has been emotionally, sexually, and physically abused their entire lives. I think probably my grandpa was the most evil man that's lived in the last 100 years. And they had 16 kids, and all of them were beat, emotionally, verbally abused, and raped forever.
Yeah. It's pretty sad to see. But God can fix all of those things and heal those, and it would be really, that's one of the big things that we pray about every day.
Well, you got a harvest field.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
I'm okay. I'm here to stand against him. Ever since my first conscious thought, I would look around, and as a kid, I've been a fighter. I think that's what entangled me in a lot of the demonic things, because I chose to fight against all the bad and the wrongdoing that I've seen. I just so happened to get entangled in a lot of demonic things, and that pursuit of becoming strong enough to conquer everything. What was the thing you told me about the truth? When we were sitting at the kitchen table one day, and we were reading the Bible, and you were showing me things, and you were talking about only those who seek the truth, something.
Love for the truth?
Yes.
Well, it's what it says. I think I don't know the scripture we read, but I think it says in 2 Thessalonians, because they did not receive a love for the truth. Yeah, see, God is trying to get us to receive a love for the truth. And what happens? The devil. Most people don't want to believe what I'm going to say here, but the devil is the greatest promoter of church that there is. Mm-hmm. And I was working one time with Simon, and we're working in a tavern. And we had to work late at night because of the hours, you know. And so we were due to floor and the thing, and people were coming in, the drunker they got, the more religious they got. And the thought pattern that was running through the guys that were drinking at the bar is, I got to start going to church with my wife. I got to start going to church with my wife. I got to start going to church. And it was like the devil was in this thing, because the church is not the answer. The Word of God is the answer. But people don't know that. And so they go to church and they hear a couple things with the pastor or whatever, and they think, well, this is it. And it's not it. The secret and the answer is for you to get that Word in you yourself. Don't trust us. Don't trust anybody else. Just trust the Word of God.
Just like meth is an artificial high for what you can feel with Jesus, so is church. Going to church gives you the same artificial high, just on the opposite side.
Yeah.
Brandy told me she goes to church because she feels so good. She just leaves feeling so full. And I have not one time left here feeling so full, but so hungry. So hungry. It's a very different thing.
Yeah.
I don't think most people are seekers of the truth.
Mm-hmm. They're the seeker of a Band-Aid.
Yeah.
Well, and they go to church and think that that's where they're finding it, and they're not finding the truth.
But they don't even know.
No.
It's unfortunate. Forgive them. They know not what they do.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah, I kind of wait for it to fit. Because
I wanted to make a comment that might take us in a different direction. So, Curtis, I think you've described one of the more intense deliverance experiences that I've heard, but I don't think you're done.
I don't think I'm done.
He said that to me yesterday.
No, I don't think you think you need to get baptized.
Mm-hmm.
You need to commit to getting baptized. You need to pick a date, and you need to put it out there for both God and the enemy to see. And then be ready for that fight. Because it's clear that God's preparing you to get baptized. What's not clear to me is that you, because you started off by saying, I've been thinking because this is because of this. So you've sort of been going down this path, but you haven't committed to it yet. Which is why you're in this fight. So.
There's a garden hose.
Well, I mean,
he said that a billion times. Yesterday, Lake Hallie is right there. I spent a lot of time making this cool, fancy room, but that room means nothing for his baptism, you know?
I think it does.
Yeah, but I mean in general.
My point is, you need to follow through, because you were talking about when one spirit leaves and the house is empty, what can happen? And you need to, as you said, you think it was filled, but I think, and I could be wrong, and I'm open to correction by the brothers, but I think you need to be moving forward and closing the deal.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly, Curtis wants to, he said, I feel like I'm done, or I got, like, defeat, whatever, but I don't feel like everything's like, oh, like, I need to be baptized. So he said the same thing, which is really cool.
I think all that's happened, all that's happened is a path was made.
Mm-hmm.
God made the path for you to do this. Now you have to step up.
And I think the scriptures I had just fit in here.
There you go.
because it. I read ahead of the one which I was going to. And so it was right with everything we've been talking about. It's in 1 Colossians chapter 1, 13. He has delivered us from the power of darkness. And conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. But the one I was going to bring this morning is, because we talked about this in our meetings, a lot about image, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Right? He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over creation. Well, then I was reading, and I came across in chapter 3:10. And this is now talking about us. and having put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Christ is the image of the invisible God. You can be the image of the invisible God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do you know, Curtis and I both woke up day before? We told Grandpa, both of us told Grandpa we both had dreams one night. And prior to this, there were a couple of things that God can reveal himself to you in dreams, right, obviously, or come to you in dreams. And there was one, Curtis had a dream that my auxiliary battery was bad in my car. Whatever.
That was like 3 nights.
Okay, yeah, so that happened to happen. The auxiliary battery in my car was bad. And it was a weird situation how it happened, because the dealership fixed one thing, I fixed something, or it wasn't the right thing, and it turned out to be this after, like, days of investigation. Where the first day I brought it there, Curtis was like, I had a dream that it was your auxiliary battery. And I never brought it up to them, whatever. So I laughed, and I told Curtis, is it funny that both of us had these two dreams? I had a different dream, and I was like, both of them were right. Like, we both literally, I had a dream that Curtis was having an issue with drugs at one point, and I was right. It was a dream, it was a thing, it whatever. So then Curtis and I both woke up one morning. He had a dream that was so horrible that he turned into a demon and was doing all these horrible things. And in that same time, I had a dream that he had turned into this thing, and only literally right here of his face was the only part of his face that was him. And we were at Menards for some reason, but it was my house, and there were tornadoes coming out of the sky, like twister tornadoes everywhere, and this massive tornado just coming down through the middle. And there was other things involved there, including his ex, the girl's mom, and some man that was with her. I don't know who he was. And it was like this thing was all just set out to destroy everything. And I was manifesting and saying that his ex couldn't be at my house and she needed to go be in the tornadoes. And it was this whole thing. And then Curtis screamed, enough! And the tornadoes went back in the sky. And he, like, went back to himself. Now, that was 2 days later, this happened. Which was really cool. Like, super cool.
I think I'm going to go back to that verse 10. I think it's it. And have put on the new man who was renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. So I think that's saying you're receiving truth, which is the image of God.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Truth.
Yeah.
Sounds good. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
So.
Curtis, I would take to heart what Forky said and set a date. Think about it. Get out the calendar and see about
what's next Sunday.
Setting a date.
I was going to say.
Well, I would especially say
tomorrow.
Can't be a Sunday.
Can't be a Sunday.
Do not make it a convenient date. Don't try and loop it in with something else. Mm-hmm. Pick a date, make it stand alone, and it is for this purpose only. Not because that you conveniently swung into church. Not because we're going to be here. It's got to stand alone.
October 4th seems like a really good day.
That's
the day that we met.
And that's next Sunday?
It's a Saturday. No, it's in 3 weeks. It's a Saturday.
I don't want to wait that long.
Yeah, don't. Tomorrow seems like a good day.
Tomorrow? I just thought next Sunday because we don't have all the kids.
Right.
And I don't want the kids to be there.
Well, that's a different thing. I'm just saying. I was thinking about this because he said, well, what about right now? And I go,
no,
that's a convenience thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you want this decision before God because it's convenient.
Mm-hmm.
I think you want it to be because I really want this and it's important and I will rearrange my schedule because it's important. Now, there's other factors, mm-hmm. but I'm just saying, not because everybody happens to be here is not a good time to schedule. It just
mm-hmm.
seems to me.
Well, there's also right now that puts not kids in, parents and whatever. We literally can rearrange our – we will rearrange our schedule that any night this week, realistically, we could make work for next week.
I bet,
my parents,
parents
yeah,
would like to be part of
that would be a big thing.
I mean, I give it a little thought, but all I was suggesting was
– put thought into it.
Well,
putting
it made it important – and not because it just is convenient. because the enemy will use that. Mm-hmm. I mean, kind of like you don't pick a wedding date because everybody's in town.
Yep.
Right.
You may have a wedding because everybody's in town, but that's not how you do it.
Right.
And this is kind of like that because, in a way, being baptized is now you're going to be wed in a different way. You're making a commitment.
Yep.
And you don't want to minimize it, especially with the fight you've had.
Mm-hmm.
I felt very serious about this the entire time, and I would like that you brought up picking the date because there hasn't been a set thing, and I just have been wanting it, and I've been going through this battle internally, like since it's even like became a thing. Mm-hmm. There's definitely been a fight.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, that's all good, and I get that, and I'm not trying to be overbearing in any way. I'm just telling you how it feels to me because
no, you're right.
I think you're right.
The fact is that thing has been out there for months and months and months and months with lots of hills and valleys.
Mm-hmm.
And knowing you want to do it is one thing, but that's kind of like, I'm going to start my diet.
Right.
I'm going to whatever. And you find you let things of the natural life get in the way of just doing this.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Until you kind of like.
No, I agree with you.
Mm-hmm.
100%.
So, but it was impressed on me anyways.
Yeah.
So.
What about like on Tuesday?
I don't have any plans.
I know. We have the kids. And I have a couple things that I need to change. But it would work.
Well, having the kids here would be fine.
That would be great. Yeah, no,
maybe
having the kids, that would be important.
Not negative. Right?
No, that isn't important. So we would have the kids. Jasper has football, but we can move things around. But I think that would be a really good thing, and my parents would be here.
Yeah.
When will they be here?
Well, they'll be back. Aren't they coming back today?
Yeah.
So they'll be here because it's during the week, and we'll see a school.
Yeah. I would like my parents to come down.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think my mom will.
She might.
Well, and Tuesday might be too soon for them, too. I mean,
no, his mom is a make it work. And actually, no, it wouldn't be. And your mom has zero excuse to not come because she told me she was going to drop off masks at our house on Tuesday because she's going to be in town. So there's no reason that she couldn't come Tuesday afternoon because she's already planned on stopping at our house.
I know my dad will definitely do whatever to make it.
We could fill this up tomorrow and heat it up.
I know Tuesday afternoon will work well for us.
Yeah.
Because we're not the ones you need to be happy about.
Anyways,
I'm just...
You know what? If you can make it perfect, that'd be a joy.
We were free, we'd be here.
Right. What about if...
We have to have somebody strong enough to baptize it.
Right. Well, I my parents being there is really important, too, for sure. That has been a big thing.
Yep.
Tomorrow might work if it was late enough.
Tuesday afternoon might be difficult for your dad. That's all I was thinking.
Right.
How long does it take to warm up the water feet?
Another clue.
Now,
to be honest with you, I don't care if it's ice cold or scalding hot.
There's somebody else that's going to be in that water with you.
Right.
Well, they can stand on the outside.
No, they can stand on the outside. They can stand on the outside.
All right.
Well, tomorrow, Jasper has a football game, but we can move things around with that. That tomorrow evening would work, if it would work for you.
I don't know if we get that warm.
I don't think it matters if we get it very hot. We had a pool at the house that I used to swim in as it was filling with a hose, and I don't know that that's the most important thing.
It's not at all the most important thing.
But I would make one more little comment since I'm being so bold. Sooner is better than later.
Yeah.
I mean,
I agree.
I would think, you had this deliverance when? Saturday?
Yeah, yesterday.
Monday sounds good.
Yeah.
That sounds about right to me. 48 hours, and the only reason we waited for Monday is because you want your parents to be there.
Well, and his daughters. We don't get them back until tomorrow afternoon.
Right, so there's other things. So then,
We could fill it this afternoon or something.
They'll be there. If I tell them that we're doing it tomorrow, they'll be there. I'll actually tell them now.
Well, that did fit. Much more than I thought.
I want to be surprised if things get ugly before they get good.
Well, just pray to the Lord.
God is in control. Mm-hmm. Keep the wolves at bay, he says.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I want to get the wolves away from the bay.
Right.
I'm tired of the wolves. I want angels. I want the Lord.
Yeah. I've been the wolf for too long. I want it gone.
Mm-hmm. What does tomorrow work for? What does tomorrow work for you? We figure out what time.
Okay, as we work on logistics, we love you all.